Are we free to proceed? A couple of weeks ago, of course, was Memorial Day weekend, and I had the opportunity to preach at two churches that Sunday. And so that's where I was. I wasn't off watching the race. And then, but that afternoon, Penny and I, we visited with my uncle and aunt to they're in getting on in years and becoming rather frail and don't get out very much. So we spent a little time visiting with them. And then went to the cemetery in Knightstown to just go to the graves of my grandfather and grandmother and aunt and sister and another uncle and aunt and of course my parents as well. And then got in the car and raced the rain to try to get to the Spiceland Cemetery to Penny's parents' gravesite. And I just imagine, you know, a lot of you probably have done the same thing, if not this year, in the past years, gone to the graves of loved ones on Memorial Day, whether or not they'd served in the military service. My father had been a World War II veteran, and so I was glad to see that he was remembered with a flag from the American Legion there in Knightstown. Their post puts up the flags each Memorial Day for our veterans that are gone on. And it made me think, though, about the whole idea of Memorial Day as, and it's how it started in the post-Civil War years, sometimes called Decoration Day. It was a day when they would decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers from the Civil War. And it was a time of great somberness, of remembering how devastating the war was to our country. Over the years, it's kind of evolved a little bit, I think. Sometimes I get a little upset because it seems like we forget that we have Veterans Day to remember our living veterans, and Memorial Day becomes kind of a celebration of all the military, and it's like, that's not what it was supposed to be. It was about remembering those who have given their lives in the service of their country, and also it was remember just how horrific war is, that we remember these people so that we can dedicate ourselves to try to prevent it from happening again. I remember what one of my great honors in high school is I got to go to Boys State. You're familiar with Boys State and Girls State? I went to Boys State. And it's put on by the American Legion. And one of the Legionnaires spoke, and I loved what he said. He said, the American Legion is an organization whose main purpose is to be put out of existence. We want a world where there's no more war, and you have to be a war veteran to join the American Legion. So our hope is someday we won't be in existence anymore. And I thought, that is a wonderful message. I wish more people would hear that. I'm sure that for him and his fellow Legionnaires, that the memory of war was one that they wouldn't wish on anybody else. Memory shapes us. It shapes us in little ways and big ways. You know, perhaps the smell of baking bread brings back memories of childhood and your mother baking bread in the kitchen, or maybe your father. For me, I have to admit that for me, the smell that brings back the memory of my childhood is my mom baking those canned crescent rolls. So it's not really quite as homey, but you know. Or perhaps a song. Maybe there's a song. You mentioned this. Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam. You heard that and the memory started coming to you, didn't it, about childhood? Maybe singing that in Sunday school or at Bible school. And we all have pictures we like to look at that bring back memories for us. Maybe it's a picture of a loved one, or maybe a picture of some scenery from a vacation that helps us remember those good times. One of the things that memory does for us, though, it shows us what we value, where our values are. Memorial Day, in a way, is it shows us the value that we place on love of country and patriotism and remembering those who have gone before us. So not only, though, does it show us what we value, it also can reveal what we fear. And it can do it in ways that are very subtle and some not so subtle. Growing up in Knightstown, you know, the kids from Kennard, they started going to, they always would join us at junior high. They had their own elementary school, but when I was in grade school, that changed. My fifth grade year, they had to start busing them down to Knightstown because of the destruction of the school there. And I have friends from Kennard now who are extremely anxious whenever a storm brews up. And it is post-traumatic stress for them. We were talking with a friend of ours whose husband was from a foreign country. And the country he grew up in had a repressive government. But his parents still lived there, and he wanted to go back to visit them. And for one reason or another, only a couple of his children could go with him. So he took his two of his daughters with him to his country, home country. And the plane lands, they get off the plane, and he's detained by the authorities because he has a U.S. passport, but he was born in this other country, and they want to know what he's doing there and why he doesn't have a passport from the country he was born in. And the interrogation went on for about 3 hours. And he's there with his daughters. And so he had them to be concerned about in addition to himself. And fortunately, he was able to get out of it mainly by pointing out to them that his two daughters were born in the United States. And you do realize you're detaining two American citizens right now. And pretty soon after that, he was let go. Fast forward a few years later, they take a long flight to California. Don't leave the country, but it's a long flight. They land, gets off the plane, they're headed to the beach, they're on the beach, and he starts having chest pains. That memory was shaping him on a subconscious level. It was just that flight, that long flight, triggered something in his memory on a subconscious level that he started having these chest pains. So memory can work at a very deep level that we're not even aware of. It's like a deep river, an underground river. You don't see it, but it's there, working on us. So our memory shapes us in the deep places. Our memory shapes us in ways that we think of as positive and ways that we think are harmful to our psyche and our souls. But here's the other aspect of memory that we should remember, is that there is also a way that we can shape our memory. Shaping memory. That the ritual that we do for things like Memorial Day, of laying the wreaths on the graves. Our habits that we do, like coming here every Sunday morning. We're shaping our memories when we come here on first day. Memory itself is one of the basics of all religions, really. For the Jewish people, it's the memory of their history, of being the people of God and all that they went through together. As Christians, it's the memory of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, as well as the memory of his apostles and their work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. I remember as working at the funeral home in Dublin. When I was the pastor in Dublin, I was walking by the funeral home one day, just as a side note, how I ended up working there. Chris Earlywine, the funeral home owner, was painting some door trim. And I was just walking by. I said, "Hey, Chris, I was just wondering." I said, "You know, I've been thinking, I'd like to maybe do some work here if you need any work." He says, "Well, funny should happen. I just had to let somebody go. So what would you be interested in doing?" And we talked a little bit, and I said, "Well, you know, I could help out with whatever you need, and if you needed somebody to come in and conduct a funeral for a family that didn't have a pastor, I'd be available for that." And I had done quite a bit of that in my time at Knightstown Friends. And I found that as to be some of my favorite work as a pastor, was to work with families during that time of loss. I remember one family who was not from the area, but the mother had grown up many, many, many years. She maybe had two people from the community show up for the funeral that remembered her from her youth. But she had spent most of her time in another state. And so I didn't have a lot to go on. And I talked to her daughters, and her daughters, I said, "Well, you know, what fond memories?" It's like, "Don't really have many." She was a single mother. She had to work two jobs. She was never very happy. "We don't have any really good memories of our mother." Said she never went out. Said, "Well, one day we went out to the zoo with her, but she got really tired and hot, and we had to go home. But she was always working." That theme, they kept coming back. She was always working to make sure that we had a home. And so with that, I was able to help them shape the memory of a mother who loved them and showed it by making sure that they were safe. And afterwards, they said, "Thank you. I didn't think we'd have anything this meaningful. But I was helping them to shape their memory of their mother in a way that said there was love there that maybe we didn't see on the surface." The psalm that Linda read, Psalm 124, was a way that Israel shaped its collective memory. They remembered those times when they were being either oppressed or they were under attack from other nations, but they still managed to come out of it the other side as a people. They were not cutting out the difficult memories. They didn't gloss over the bad times. They talked about how they were almost swallowed up, how things were really looking bad, but God got them through it. Eugene Peterson, writing about this psalm, talks about that image that is used of being swallowed up, of like a monster. You know, a monster. He says it's like the projection, a monster is the projection of our fears. And it feels like they're going to swallow us up. Our fears will swallow us up. And if it hadn't been for the Lord being on our side, that would have happened. Our fears would have gotten the best of us. But we were rooted in a knowledge that God was with us. Notice also the way that psalm begins. It said, you know, it sort of breaks in the middle of that first line and says, "Let all Israel say." So again, it's a collective memory. It emphasizes the fact that we are saying this together, that this is our experience. As we shape our memories, we don't only do them as individuals, but we also do them together. We shape our memories as a congregation of people. We shape our memories as families. We shape our memories as a community. And sometimes we want to gloss over the bad things because we don't want to be remembered for that. We don't want to be remembered for the Dana strike. We don't want to be remembered for the times when there were horrific crimes and in the spotlight in our community. Let's just remember the good times. But then how do you know God was here if you don't remember? We got through as a community somehow through those bad times. We acknowledge God's presence when we felt like we were going to be swallowed up. We acknowledge God's presence when we felt like the water was going to overwhelm us. You know, in the Hebrew symbolism, water, there's water has a lot of symbolism in the Hebrew literature. The ocean is chaos. It's always a sense of, they weren't an ocean-going people. So the image of going through the Red Sea, of God parting the Red Sea, had added significance to them because that meant God was taking them through this chaos to the other side. And of course, you can think of the 23rd Psalm. There's the opposite side. There's the still water. That's peace. But Israel in their literature and all their memories, they remember both. The great spiritual leader, Saint Ignatius, talks about giving our memories to God. What a wonderful phrase, giving our memories to God, letting God help us to shape them. And that among the ways God might reveal to us is through memory. The uplifting memories, again, tell us what we value. The healing of the traumatic memories. When we give them to God, there can be healing. So the memories shape us collectively and personally. We've all made mistakes, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God. But one of the favorite phrases of the Christian faith is that we are all sinners saved by grace. So the question sometimes is, which memory do we hold on to? The memory that we're sinners or the memory that we're saved by grace? Because when we remember we're saved by grace, when that memory starts to shape us, you know what happens? We become more graceful. We become more graceful. At least that's been my experience. Is when I get down on myself about past mistakes, and then next thing I know, I start seeing, well, that person's also. I start pointing the finger at everybody else because I was like, I'm more aware of everybody's shortcomings because I'm so aware of my own. But in those times when I'm allowed God's grace to shape me, I'm more graceful. So which memories are we going to allow to shape us? Is it the memory of God's grace? Is it the memory of how God pulled us through our difficulties, those that we brought on ourselves, as well as those that circumstances just sent our way? Or are we going to remember how we came out on the other side? See, for Israel, it was going through those experiences of almost being swallowed up, of almost being covered up in water, that they were able then to build on and try to trust God. They didn't always do it very well, the record shows of in the Old Testament. The Hebrew scriptures are full of times when they forgot. And that's why they needed that ritual to remind them, that repeating. And we need that too, and that's why we need to come to a place like this where we get reminded of God's grace. That God's love for us can bring us through whatever comes our way. May we hold on to that memory.